Good Thursday morning. Welcome to another fresh and new edition of the Mark Creslin Show here on the Veritas Radio Network, the Crusade Channel, live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time, followed by my good friend Mike Church. And the Mike Church Show, by the way, had a tremendously successful event yesterday up in Philadelphia at the Smoke Shop. I listened to parts of it. Unfortunately, I was stuck in my doctor's office through much of it. But I heard nothing but good things from what happened up there, and I'm thrilled that the first ever Veritas Radio Network live broadcast on location went off, apparently, without many difficulties at all. Now, there's always difficulties leading to the actual pressing of the button and going live. But that's technology-driven. But at the end of the day, what I did get to hear was just wonderful. And so congratulations to my good friend Mike Church, the poobah here at the Veritas Radio Network. Well done, friend. I'm glad it went off largely without a hitch. So congratulations. As a live call-in program, that means you can call us anytime you'd like at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Simple enough. Just pick up your phone, open up the keypad, press those buttons, and you'll be put into the queue, and we'll await your profound comments or ideas or questions related to the topic of the day, or, as you generally know, the theme of the show. And that theme is, we are disruptive radio here. We are attempting to disrupt the status quo. And we are doing a pretty good job of it, as I heard yesterday during the live broadcast up there. Today, by the way, want to announce the debut of the Suzanne option that'll be following Mike Church. She'll be a live call-in program Thursday and Friday this week. Yours truly will be on with her for a few moments to congratulate her on what I know will be a successful first show. And you'll be able to call in as well. She'll be, like I said, debuting. It's a great show. It's about her personal journey from she'll obviously talk about topics that we're all following and tracking. But she'll talk about how she went from a lawyer in California to a homesteader nearing homesteader out in Utah, and why that is a kind of personal act of secession. And she'll talk in great detail. I look forward to her show. I think it's going to be great. It's a great addition to the network, and we just continue to add more and more. We hopefully will have more to announce in the future, especially as we develop more and more live talent out there. And it's time. Jesus made a profound statement. He said, you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. Old wineskins were all, crusty wineskins, and they had been used up. So Jesus said, you can't pour new wine into those, because those will burst. Those old receptacles will burst. And so his idea was to pour new wine into new wineskin, i.e. we need new leadership. We need new approaches to the existing problem, because clearly the status quo is not working. And I was reminded of that last night on my way home from the pool. I'm trying to get more active by swimming laps, since I've had so many knee surgeries over the years. I can no longer run, but I can still get in that pool and swim away. But on the way home, I just clicked on the Levin show, and I almost felt a moment of sympathy for him. And I want to play a little clip. I happen to find it, because I want you to hear the kind of nearing desperation. It's not just Levin. It's all the mainstream radio folks, conservative talk radio folks. They don't know what to do. They are at a loss. They know the tide has turned against their point of view. They know the demographics have turned against them, but they've been turning. It's not just an Obama problem. They've been turning. When you have a population that is largely addicted to their fellow man's product, their income, then you end up where we are today, with more and more people finding some source of living from their fellow taxpayer. And so the tide has turned. As I've mentioned it before, the culture is down. It's not it's not melting down. It has melted down, past tense. It's not some future event, and all the evidence is out there. There's no need to think, oh, well, we just need that one last shoe to drop, and then it'll really be down. Well, it just gets worse from here. It doesn't get better. It just gets worse from here. And as we see with regards to last week and the president issuing a decree about the use of public restrooms in schools, this is not going to stop. I mean, yeah, the states may have bought a pause on this, but even if the Trumpster is elected president and he has more what appear to be federalism-leaning tendencies in him, and he devolves this issue back to the states, I can assure you there are going to be some states in this union that are going to demand that their public schools within their state borders move towards a gender identity approach to public education. You're going to respect that, you little peons. You are going to get with the modern times. It's not about biology anymore, friends. It's about how I feel about my biology. We are moving, and as I said Monday, they accuse Christians of being anti-science. Oh my gosh. There ain't a lot more anti-science out there than believing your biology is different than it really is. So even if Trump prevails in the state, in the issue of transgenderism and how we interact with it in our states is devolved back to the states, there are going to be a large number of states that embrace some kind of policy that allows for transgenders to bathe, shower, go to the bathroom with your daughters. That's just going to happen. The demographics in this country have changed. They have been changing for decades. We kind of didn't pay enough attention to see it, or maybe we saw it and just kept putting up hope that somehow it would reverse itself with just the right leadership in Congress. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll fix the whole problem. If we just get the GOP in there, you know, that'll fix it. And yet the data continues to come back. There is no fix there. So like I said, even if Trump is elected and devolves this issue back to the states, there are going to be states that say, heck yeah, man. Your daughter will be okay if she showers with that guy. Just tell her to look the other way. Just tell her to close her eyes. We have to respect the person denying his own biology. And we have to make accommodations to make sure he's comfortable. So I think, you know, in a way, I kind of feel bad for these guys. I've come on the air a number of times and said I would hate to be in their shoes, needing to once again, one more for the Gipper, jump back in and try to pretend that this election will be different and we just need to mobilize the troops to get out there. And this time we got to get out there and vote for Trump. This time, we all hate him. We know he's a bad guy, but he's always any GOP. And I think you probably all have figured out like I have and concluded that pretty much any GOP member, it's across the board. Any GOP member is better than a Democrat. It doesn't matter at this point. It really does. This is the intellectual. This is the lack of intellectual integrity and consistency that I see so often in the GOP. It doesn't matter who it is. As long as there's an R after their name, that automatically makes them better than the Democrats. And then we wonder why, you know, nothing changes. So, you know, I'm already hearing it on mainstream conservative talk radio, the amping up for we've got to get the GOP into power. But I'm also beginning to hear a sense of resignation almost in some of these guys. And again, I don't listen that much, but when I do, I have been fortunate enough to catch some of these moments where I'm beginning to sense a little bit of resignation. It's a sense of, I'm going to say the same thing again, like I have the last 30 years. But down deep, I really know it's not going to have the effect that I hope. And in a weird kind of way, you can almost feel sympathetic. Now, I don't feel that much for sympathy for Beck and Levin. They, you know, have enough knowledge around them or access to it, and they claim to be, quote-unquote, constitutionalists and all this, that they should have made some very different decisions, certainly this election cycle, but in the past as well. And so I don't have much sympathy for them. And, you know, when Levin hawks his scholarly constitutional credentials out there as the go-to guy for all things the Constitution and then just misses it so often on so many pieces of the Constitution, I don't have a lot of sympathy. Because he's, in my view, he's led a lot of people astray, if you will. So I don't have much sympathy for him. But nevertheless, as I happened to catch this segment, it was on my way to pick up my daughter or drop my daughter off from swimming, it struck me that I hear a kind of resignation there. The conviction isn't there anymore about, we're going to win this. Shut up, you big dope. Those kind of things weren't in his voice. And I want you to listen to this clip, and maybe you'll pick it up as well. Here it is. It's towards the end of one of his segments.
Any grandchildren?
You're talking about Mr.
I know he has a wife who's held several, or at least one cabinet position, labor, under Bush, as I recall. All these people in Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, the men still use the men's room. The women still use the women's room on Capitol Hill. I mean, Mitch McConnell doesn't go into the girls' bathroom, does he? Does he? Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's got three daughters. How old are they? Do we know? I don't want to know their names. Just how old are they? Oh, they're in their 30s, probably, his daughters. Well, he's pathetic. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day when the Republican leader of the United States Senate would support women in the draft?
This is kind of how delusional. This is a resignation. Did you ever, you know, when you put your hope in the GOP, guess what? You're going to be disappointed. And yeah, I absolutely imagined a day when the GOP would be no better than the DNC. So it doesn't catch me by surprise anytime these guys do the things that they do. It doesn't. It bothers me at one level because they have the power to do it. But this is when you hear Levin say this. This is him coming to terms with he bet on the wrong horse the last 30 years, and he's ridden that horse even though it's been in last place the whole time, and kept believing somehow it was going to get to the front. And he's coming to the conclusion, did you ever believe? Yes, in this system of government, why wouldn't I believe? The facts are right staring us right in front of our face. 56 million dead babies when they had the ability to devolve the issue back to the states. Income taxation when they had the ability to remove the Tax Payment Act of 1943 and force people to start sending checks on April 15th instead of payroll withholding. The Republicans have had all kinds of chances to advance your agenda and his agenda, Levin's agenda as well. And at almost every turn, they have failed to do what Levin, Hannity, Limbaugh, myself used to believe the GOP would do. So, yes, he's coming to terms with the reality he bet on the wrong horse. He goes on to say this.
I'm telling you, folks, we talk about this country's going to hell. This country has gone, and we got to get it back.
Now, there's the last little bit of, but it doesn't sound full of conviction anymore. Yes, this country has gone to hell in a handbasket. It's you know, much like I say, this country has melted down. The culture has melted down, though you will never hear that followed by, we got to get it back. But he doesn't sound quite as convincing now, does he? We've got to get it back. Now he's going to give you his solution.
And I'm not into this sleight of hand stuff, fake right, move left, and all the rest of it. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to continue.
See, there's the beginning of the resignation. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. So he's telling all his listening audience that I bet on the wrong horse. The culture is melted down. I don't know what I'm going to do about it.
Continue to support Article 5 Convention of States.
Okay, that's one of his solutions. He still holds out hope that this Article 5 Amendment Convention can fix the problem. And as I discussed yesterday on the show, I am not anti an Article 5 Amendment Convention at all. I just believe it has absolutely no chance of doing anything substantively. To get 38 states to ratify an amendment to the Constitution that does something substantive to stop the growth of the federal government and power over our lives is a fool's errand. It ain't going to happen. 38 of 50 states would have to say, yeah, we all balance our budgets on this federal funding we get. Yeah, let's cut our own throats by restricting it somehow. It's not going to happen. But, you know, this is his desperation shot. He knows it's fourth and about 99 yards for a first down. And there's 5 seconds left in the game. And so he's holding out for his desperation pass, which is going to be a bomb to the Article 5 Amendment Convention. That'll fix it. But even then, he doesn't have the conviction. He goes on to say this.
I will cast a vote in this election, and I will tell you before what I'm going to do. Not that, hey, Mark's doing this, so am I. That's not why. I'm getting enormous amount of inquiries about it. I don't care about Meet the Press and Deface the Nation and all the rest. I'm not going on those shows.
So he's going to continue with the vote, hope, and cope strategy. I'm going to hope for an Article 5 Amendment Convention. I'm going to continue to vote, hope, and cope. I'm going to vote, even though he, you know, was the guy, one of the guys that, you know, was clear that Donald Trump was the reincarnation of Satan himself. And my guess is he's already going to begin to position himself to be a Trump supporter by November. This is, guys, I'm showing you the MO. I'm showing you the crime scene here. This is how it happens every 2 years. I bet on the wrong horse, the GOP. I know it's now not going to work. I'm going to continue to hope that the Article 5 Amendment Convention might be our desperation pass that could still work. I'm going to continue to vote, hope, and cope. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to march off to the poll. And even though I know I bet on the wrong horse, I'm going to bet again. I'm going to double. I'm not doubling down. I'm going to, it can't be a quadruple. I want a zillion duple down. I want a 10 duple down on this. I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to vote, hope, and cope. Maybe this time it'll be different. Then he goes on to the real strategy.
When I'm ready, I will tell you. But in the meantime, I view our role as conservatives, Reaganites, Tea Party, people who believe in the Constitution and our republic and liberty, to keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on. That's what we have to do. I'll be right back.
There it is, the great solution. Got to be Reaganites, people who believe the Constitution, and we got to keep pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. Now, how's that for a stable of solutions, folks? Doesn't that just warm your heart? Doesn't that just say, well, I can get behind that. Now that's got some substance to it. Yeah, I agree with Levin. The GOP is the wrong horse to bet on. We bet on it. We blew it. I get it. But let's bet one more time. Maybe this, Kreslins, if you're going to get onto your secession stuff and tell me that Levin's got it wrong, I'm tuning your show out. If you're going to get onto people actually taking control of their lives again and people stop genuflecting at the GOP altar, if you're going to go down that road, I'm going to tune you out and I'm playing a podcast of Levin because I'm betting on this horse again. I know it's not going to win. I get that. I'm going to vote, hope, and cope again. I'm going to do that again, Kreslins. I'm going to be a Reaganite constitutionalist. I'm going to believe, even though the Constitution did not restrain anything almost from day one. I'm going to continue to believe that it will. And then I'm going to press on, press on, press on, Kreslins. That's going to be the solution. Now, how about that for a stable of solutions? Count me in. But when you hear him speak, you hear the absence of conviction, don't we? We hear the kind of subtle recognition that you can hear in vocal patterns. The culture is melted down. I bet on the wrong horse. I'm holding out hope for one last desperation move that the Article 5 Amendment Convention will fix things. But while I wait for that desperation pass to connect with a wide receiver that's 99 yards away from me, I'm going to vote, hope, and cope again. I'm going to dutifully do my civic duty and march to the polls. And though I believed during the primary season that Ted Cruz was the anointed one and Donald Trump was the devil, I'm going to shift. I'm going to reveal my lack of intellectual integrity and consistency and moral integrity and consistency, and I'm going to move towards Trump because I bet on the GOP. I'm sticking with that bet. I recognize that in the great race between Secretariat and Sham in the Belmont in 1976 that I bet on Sham, and Sham is now 90 lengths behind Secretariat. But I'm sticking with that bet. I know there's no chance that Sham can catch Secretariat, and we can restore the culture, whatever that means. I'm sticking with the bet. And I'm going to vote hope and cope. But then I'm really going to play the role that I'm left to play, which is to be a Reaganite, to be a conservative, whatever that means. I recognize, Kreslins, we don't know what conservative means anymore, but it's a nice-sounding term, and I want to use it. So I recognize that I'm going to be a Reaganite, whatever that means, too. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'm going to do that, too. And I'm going to press on, press on, press on. Folks, do you see why the Veritas Radio Network is disruptive radio to that? We come on the show, as Mike did the other night, last week, as I did yesterday, tell you to get your kids out of school. Collapse this public school system by getting out of it. Now, I'm not convinced that if every person in Oklahoma pulled their child out of public school, that we still wouldn't have a public school system here and the teachers would just go to empty classrooms. After all, they need to earn a living off of their fellow taxpayer. How long that would be sustained, I don't know. But you won't hear these guys say that. You won't hear figuring out a way to alter, abolish, or throw off, as Jefferson penned in the Declaration of Independence, which we all hold dear to our hearts. You won't hear mainstream conservative talk radio say we need, if that's the solution is contained there. You won't hear mainstream talk radio talk about creating 3,144 little republics in these United States, some of them being populated by a majority of Catholics or evangelical Christians, or perhaps they join together and occupy 40 of those little republics. No, you won't hear that from mainstream talk radio because they're laser beam focused on Washington, D.C. The solution in their mind always, always, always will come out of Washington, D.C. You won't hear the mainstream conservative talk radio talk about the bipartisan, meaning both parties, meaning all of them in Washington, D.C. being corrupt, morally bankrupt, leading a de facto, not a de jure, thus illegitimate and evil national masquerading as a federal government in those 10 square miles of swamplands we refer to affectionately as Washington, D.C. You won't hear mainstream talk radio, conservative talk radio, challenge that it's a bipartisan, corruption, morally bankrupt problem. No, what you will hear from them all day today and tomorrow, and then the next months leading up to November is exactly what Levin just said, but what you are going to begin to hear, and you're hearing it already, is the lack of conviction. I've been in this business for a while. I can read people. When I heard that last night, it was just happenstance. I'm not a Levin listener. I just was dropping my daughter off or picking her up. I can't remember which one I was doing. But anyways, I just happened to press the button. It's not because he's programmed into my – I just listen to him. Every now and then I listen to Wilkow. Every now and then I listen to Hannity. I don't have to – I can usually listen to mainstream conservative talk radio for about 5 minutes and get the idea of the whole show and know what they're going to do for the next 3 hours. Because it's the same thing they did 2 years ago and 4 years ago and 6 years ago, just like I used to do. But this is the first time I've listened and I could detect something different. And what I detected was a lack of conviction. They've got a living to make, and with their millions of listeners, they make a very good living. And so they've got to feed their audience what the audience wants. And the audience wants more GOP right now because the audience doesn't know better. They want more hope that this thing can still be rescued, that we're melting down, not melted down. They want to hold on to the ING and melting. They don't like the ED. And right now, mainstream conservative talk radio is ready to dish out more of that. But with this little change, the conviction's not there anymore. It's slipping. There's a sense of resignation. Oh, crud. I bet on the wrong horse. That's why the Veritas Radio Network is so important right now. We are disruptive insofar as we are offering real solutions versus sophomoric ones. Yeah, are our solutions hard? Yeah, is it difficult to imagine breaking into 3,144 little republics in these United States? Of course it's hard to think. I mean, you know, I hope none of you believe, and I think I've tried to make myself very clear on this, that my ideas of secession, of decentralizing power away from a central authority in Washington, D.C., to smaller republics, much smaller republics, I don't for a second think that's a start and stop proposition or stop and start. On August 21st, we're going to, Mr. Speaker, Amendment 99 to the U.S. Constitution now says that we are going to abolish the federal government on August 8th. I don't think August 9th we automatically become a union of 3,144 republics. Gosh, if you think I'm that dumb, then you probably should tune into another program. It's a process. There will be all sorts of conversations that need to occur. But I will tell you that history tells us our solutions here, my solutions here on the Mark Kreslin Show, have actually been done before. Successfully. We're watching a peaceful secession potentially occurring of major proportions between the United Kingdom and the European Union as it votes to secede from the European Union on June 23rd, 2016, next month. Peaceful. The Luftwaffe is not being flown on missions into England to start targeting London factories, to start bombing it to stay in the Union. Angela Merkel is not raised up or created the Fourth Reich. As far as I know, now call me at 8445-CRUSADE if you're aware of some breaking news that Angela Merkel is bringing up the Fourth Reich to force Great Britain to stay in the United Kingdom, to stay in the Union. It's peaceful. The people are deciding, are going to decide whether they want to stay in the Union or not. And it will be a process, if the people decide they want out, it will be a process thereafter to unentangle themselves. My guess is if they vote June 23rd to leave the European Union, June 24th, there will begin a process of disentangling themselves from the European Union. I will hand it to the Scots when they considered seceding from the United Kingdom back in 2014. They had a 600-page document that outlined how that would happen. They didn't think on October 14th they would vote. They actually had a 2 or 4 year transition period built into that document. They didn't think on October 14th the people would vote to secede. And as Mike said, I think he's exactly right. They will secede. They are going to secede. There is a strong separatist secession movement in Scotland. They just need more older people to die. It's purely a demographic thing. The younger people want out. They want to run their own. They want their own identity back. And so they will vote to secede at some point, and that 600-page document will likely be the basis for their strategy. But when they voted in 2014, they didn't vote in October 14th and then realize, October 15th, we are now free. They had to begin a process of disentangling themselves from the United Kingdom. Well, folks, please have more confidence in your host here than to believe that if we moved the ball of secession and people actually began to think free again, away from the federal government, the national government masquerading as a federal government, that would happen overnight. It would be a process of disentangling Oklahoma from the federal bureaucracy and regulatory burdens they've lived under for, you know, going on 200 years from Washington, D.C. It would be a process. It would take time. But I sure as heck would like to put my hope in that versus what Levin is down to. I bet on the wrong horse. I'm going to live in an illusion that somebody can throw a 99-yard pass. It can still be caught. We can rescue the culture. And while I'm still hoping that 99-yard pass can be caught, i.e. the Article 5 Amendment Convention, I'm going to dutifully go and vote hope, and then I'm going to cope with the reality that nothing changed. But my real strategy to everybody is press on, press on, press on. Would you like that or dreaming of a better future for yourself where your families and your children and your wives and your husbands and your grandchildren are out from underneath this oppressive government, this oppressive national government masquerading as a federal one? Would you rather dream of a day to be away from them, or let's give it one more time for the Gipper? Let's go to Chris in Florida. Chris, welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Veritas Radio Network. What do you think? I know you, are you calling to critique me, reprove me, or endorse me? Chris, you there? Chris from Florida. Okay, must have had a technical problem there. So, but ask yourself the same question, friends. Which would you rather do? Would you rather spend time hoping, voting, and then coping? Or would you rather put the time in? Hey, Chris, is that you?
I'm here.
Hey, man.
I think I'm here. Am I here?
All right. Yeah, you are. All right. So
awesome.
Am I going to be reproved? Am I going to be supported or critiqued?
You are supported, but I was also calling to let you know what apparently we don't know that right-wing talk radio knows.
Tell me.
That is, if only the passengers of the Titanic had gotten on in reverse alphabetical order, they would not have hit the iceberg.
There's a real solution coming from the Veritas Radio Network. That's great. Now,
I agree. Now, I have a possible solution for North Carolina with this whole bathroom issue.
Go ahead.
And that is, if they have the stones and the political wherewithal to do this, tell the federal government to shove it, and they're going to say, oh, well, we won't give you the education money. And then North Carolina says, well, then we'll stop sending up all our tax money.
Yep.
See how you like that.
Brother, that's the thinking.
But that would require a backbone and some other biological parts that we're not allowed to discuss people actually having anymore because they may or may not, depending on the time of day.
No, you're exactly right. No, but you know where this is the missing piece of this whole puzzle, and this is why I talk the way I do on the radio show. This is why I love connecting with just my fellow citizen of their states, not of the United States, but of their states, because the political leadership is only going to respond in the way you just described if the people are driving that boat. It won't happen at the political leadership level. You're right. You described them accurately. They are without stones.
I was going to say, it's not going to happen at the federal level, as Levin was lamenting, keep putting pressure on, because as you stated before, Mr. Former Senior Legislative Assistant, what did those taxes do for you? Absolutely nothing but annoy you.
Yeah, exactly right. No, but you're so this has to be a movement of the people. The people have to be awakened. Number one, as you and I've talked about before, they have to first understand that they really do have shackles on right now. That there's a relative freedom right now we experience, but at any moment, because there's so many regulations written, so many laws written that we're all violating, those shackles could be tightened up pretty aggressively on us. But we have to come to the conclusion first that we have shackles, right?
Absolutely. And that whether they're comfortable or not.
Yeah, right. Right. So, that's exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
You too, man. Oh, Chris is exactly right. North Carolina, that would be the primo move. But right now, it's going to take the people. We've got to agitate. If you're in North Carolina, you've got to be getting down and sitting down with your friends and neighbors and colleagues and family and begin to organize larger groups of people that will then begin to demand of their political leadership, their political apparatus, to do exactly what Chris just discussed. Yeah, that would be the move. For the North Carolina legislature, backed by the people of North Carolina, to tell Washington to go pound sand. Here's how we're going to tell you to go pound sand. You can keep your stinking borrowed money, and we're going to withhold all federal taxation in the state, in our own treasury, and we will dole out to you what we believe we owe you based on Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution and originalist interpretation. We'll give you that. We'll talk about this when we come back. Stay tuned.